From the mind of Stephen Sondheim comes a Hollywood whodunit. Today I'm talking about The Last of Sheila. This is Scott's Self-Indulgent Movie Podcast. Hello, movie friends. Welcome to Scott's Self-Indulgent Movie Podcast. I am Scott, and today I'm talking about The Last of Sheila, which is a movie that's gotten risen to prominence recently for reasons I'll get into in my introduction, and I finally got a chance to see it and really enjoyed it for reasons I'll get into very shortly. So without further ado, let's get started. One of the fun things about directors bringing back familiar genres is that they get a chance to highlight some of their favorite films within the genre that influenced or inspired this new iteration. And Knives Out director Rian Johnson gave murder mystery fans a fun weekend's worth of movies with a giant list of movies that inspired his Benoit Blanc films, including classics like the original Murder on the Orient Express and Clue. But also snuck in amongst the expected movies was a thriller from the 70s, penned by musical theater legend Stephen Sondheim and Psycho's Anthony Perkins. So yes, I absolutely had to check out this movie and see what the appeal was, and for the most part, I get it. The movie centers around a group of folks in the movie business who are invited by movie producer Clinton Green for a week of frivolity and games, one year removed from the hit and run that killed their mutual acquaintance and Green's wife, a Gotham columnist named Sheila Green, hence the title. But what starts as a tense weekend quickly turns more sinister as the fun is interrupted by accidents. I'll be the first to admit that this movie is like catnip for a movie fiend like myself. Not only is the writing team an unexpected collaboration of all-stars that will pique your curiosity, the cast is equally star-studded with stalwarts like James Coburn hamming it up as Green, James Mason playing, well, a solid James Mason role, Raquel Welch seemingly playing a version of herself, and oh my god, is that a young Ian McShane? Holy shit, that's cool. But movie nerd cred aside, this is still one of the better mysteries and thrillers that I've seen, and there's a few reasons why. First, it's a layered mystery. Before the activities on the boat, the audience sees Sheila's death via the aforementioned hit and run, and then cuts to Clinton preparing for his guests, whom he keeps hammering with barbs as they arrive and as the week progresses. Which doesn't sound like much, but it already raises two questions. Who killed Sheila, and what is Clinton up to? Those are enough to sustain the runtime for a movie, in my opinion, but Sheila keeps adding in new wrinkles and layers to maintain the tension. There's a near-death incident involving the boat's propeller, and no one can be accounted for at the time. Clinton's game involves secrets that definitely apply to people on the boat, and seems to have shaken the entire party up. Director Herbert Ross also has some fun with some POV camera work where we can see one character having a conversation with someone else, but it's not clear who. Just to keep us wondering what else we don't know about this group. And once things come to a head, we've got another problem, which is everyone here is suspicious and a bit awful. If you wondered where Rian Johnson got the idea to make all of his suspects in his murder mysteries awful in their own right, this is a great place to look. One of the potential downsides of a standard murder mystery is that we have to believe that every suspect is capable of committing a violent act, which means, whether the text agrees with that or not, some folks get tossed out right away or need a serious reveal. But in The Last of Sheila, everyone on the boat is a bit of a worm. This person is an irresponsible lush, this person would want this person dead for monetary reasons, this person is definitely cheating on their spouse, and it's unclear if their spouse knows about it. Hell, two of the cards indicate that somebody is a sexual predator, and another calls someone a murderer, and they've all been right so far. This group is a mess, which means once the secrets start pouring out, it becomes harder and harder to determine who is both likely and capable of committing the exact crimes. We also have some great direction. The director of this movie is Herbert Ross, who is famous for directing comedies and melodramas like The Goodbye Girl, Footloose, and Steel Magnolias. Why does this matter? Blocking, baby. Blocking. A lot of this movie hangs on scenes where everyone is crammed into a single small space, for instance the main cabin, or a larger space with one person just walking around examining things. And to give each scene proper drama or weight, you need a solid combination of blocking and acting. For instance, if we see James Mason walk into a room, try a door, and then try another way, we should be able to piece together what he's investigating, so when he brings up what he discovered later, it can lock into place. I'm also a big fan of giallo style, the aforementioned giallo style POV shots where we see some nameless figure do something shady like lock a door or turn something on that should be off. Not only is this great for tension, but it's also, well, maddening in the right way a movie like this should be. You just want to see who it is and confirm or deny the theory you've got running in your head. The verdict is, it's solid genre work. Well-crafted and equally well-acted, The Last of Sheila has a deservedly solid reputation. 8 out of 10. This has been Scott's Self-Indulgent Movie Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to join our Facebook group, Scott's Self-Indulgent Movie World, for the latest reviews, discussions, and more. See you next time, everybody, and stay safe.